staff of bread, breaking of the staff of bread. The 14th chapter of Ezekiel, the 13th verse. Son of man, when the land sinned against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of bread, of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. As I told you the other day, breaking the staff of bread, that's a metaphor on what's essential to your life. What supports your life? What keeps you going? What do you lean on the most in life? You know, a lot of people say, well, they have to have bread with every meal. You know, bread is a staple of life. Sometimes you may be eating the wrong bread and it's just filling you, but it's not long-lasting filling you, like wheat bread or barley or some of the other breads that's more fiber and more, would have more, do more for your body. But there are a lot of people laboring for bread. I don't know if you've heard money referred to as bread or cake or whatever. It's according to what you call it. But here, metaphor bread is used as a metaphorically, and you can use it figuratively and literally, because also there was famine. That's why in that next verse it says, he'll send famine. And that was two different famines. One was famine for food. The other was famine for a lack of hearing the word of God. And as we see this same thing coming upon the United States, upon Louisiana, upon the cities that we're in, we look at it, I told you that word staff of the bread could mean the support of life. That's could be overthrown. He's could destroy or crush the things that. And used in conjunction with that word famine, which means to devour, figuratively to consume by implication, to battle as destruction or overcome or make warring. And you read in the book of Habakkuk, he learned, he was asking God about what was about to happen in the land. God was telling him about destroying the land, and he was saying, well, come a time, the second chapter of Habakkuk, in the fourth verse, he says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. So when everything's going wrong around you, when everything that's being destroyed, when he's breaking up the foundations, if the foundations be destroyed, what will the end of the godly be? And that is, we still will walk by faith, no matter what goes on around us, no matter what's happening. So, as he was telling Habakkuk this, and Habakkuk was reasoning why this would happen. And in the third chapter of Habakkuk, I think I told you to read that one also. The third chapter, starting at the 16th verse, it says, when I heard my belly tremble, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I tremble in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive oil shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. To the chief singer on my string instruments, he was singing this song. In other words, though you may lose your job, you may lose your children or your parents, you may lose your home, you may end up homeless. That which God has broken, the staff of life, that you looking unto God, because the reason I'm saying this and preaching this or teaching it is Ezekiel was saying this because he was going to teach this to the people in Babylon also. See, because it was too late for the people in Judah and Israel. This was going to happen. But those were the rebellious people, even though some of those escaped. They were just going to escape to be examples of those in Babylon of how not to be and why did God destroy them. And though these things was going on around, you have to learn that God has to break your life. Those things that you hold on to, those stumbling blocks that are in your life. If you are a child of God, His chastening comes to strengthen you. It comes to strengthen you, like with Job. He was strengthening Job through what he was allowing to happen because Job didn't have a perfect understanding of God. That's why he allowed the destruction of his children, his home, all of everything that he had, because he didn't have that perfect understanding of God. So we have to look at everything going on around or in our lives is from God, and it's happening for a reason, a purpose. Maybe we're holding on too tight. A lot of times, a lot of people try to force their children into their way of life. A lot of people want their children into the same church they're in. Look like the children get further away. Look like the parents get further away. You ask them, invite them to your church, or you try to. That's because you're trying to do that. You have too much invested in that person. You have to let go and let God. If you're preaching and teaching the gospel, it's a certain amount of admonition that you give people, and then you let them go. Let God work on them. But you can't force them in the church. You can't force them in your way of life. You're going to make them resent you because you cherish that too much. And that's why God is not allowing it to go your way. You try too hard for that woman or that man, and it's not happening for you. Well, that's because you're going to make that an idol, or that's a stumbling block. And God wants you to pursue Him above everything in life. That He has to be first in your life. But in these people that He was breaking the staff of bread, He was breaking everything that they depended upon and counted upon, and that He was judging them at that time. There was a judgment coming up on them. And this was going to be voiced abroad in Babylon by the remnant that escaped, saying, this did happen, what God promised to do. He did do this. And it's going to come up on them because they're hypocritical, but they are witnesses to God's word was fulfilled. All that He had told Jeremiah that He was going to do, He did. And right now, the false prophets, the false people that are in these churches and everything, when God starts His destruction, there'll just be a strong witness that God was going to break the staff of bread in life. He was going to break those staffs of bread. And they had committed these transgressions against God. So as we go on about famine, that which is necessary is not a wife, it's not a husband, it's not children, it's not a job. That which you think is necessary or laboring for, God said this in the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, in the 3rd verse. He humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you recognize and personally know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That they had to depend on God supplying the manna daily. But they still didn't learn that lesson. They didn't learn that lesson just as we're not learning that lesson now. And we store up money. We store up different things. Or we work, pray toward different things. And that's what we idolize, or that's the stumbling block that God has to break. And He has to remove because of the scripture says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Whether you for God or not, you still going to have to recognize Him as God. Whether you could be saved or not, you still. He might break your health because that was all you depended on all your life. You depended on your strength, your physical strength. He's going to have to take that away from some people. A lot of people depend upon their body. Say a prostitute, a sightly woman or something. She depending upon her body, her sexual proudness to lure a man. That's what makes her money. But one day that body is going to go away. That body is not going to be always something that you could merchandise off of. That's not the true staff of life. That doesn't provide for true happiness. That not going to provide you with income all the time. A lot of people work on that job and they idolize that job. They put those jobs before their families, before anything else. What God's going to have to take that job away. You're going to have to be jobless before you realize that the job was only a means to get you to see God. That God was your source. The job wasn't your source. God was your source of getting that job. So he have to break all these staffs of life. What is your staff of life? What it is that God has to take out of your life before you could fully commit to God, before you fully can see God. So Leviticus 26 and 26, by the way of life, what I mean by the staff and the way of life, or the staff of bread. He says, when I break your staff of bread and cut off your food, your supply of food, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall ration your bread and deliver it again by weight. And you shall eat and not be satisfied. And if in spite of all this you will not listen and give heed to me, but walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary to you in your wrath. And I also will chastise you 7 times over for your sins. You remember that he told Ezekiel that these men had set up stumbling blocks. They're stumbling blocks in their heart. That which they chose to hold on and try for God. But God had forbidden those things. Well, God says, I'll answer those men myself. Don't you answer them, Ezekiel. I'll answer them according to their multitude of idols, of those things that they had, those stumbling blocks they had put before them. So God's going to continue to do this to you. And like I said, don't look for the nation just to go one direction to where you could start seeing God manifest. You're not going to be able to see this unless you're a child of God and in his word, living by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's when you will be able to see this and explain it to someone else. But other than that, you will be caught up in this because it's beginning to happen now. If you can't see it happening, you need to get more vigilant in your prayer life, in your reading and studying, and in your walk and way of life with God. You're spending too much time doing other things. That's why he has to break that staff of life or that staff of bread to get your attention, to get you listening at him. And he says he's going to do this 7 times over. In other words, a multitude of times. He says, then I will walk contrary to you in wrath, and I also will chasten you 7 times for your sins. So he's going to keep doing this to his children, a chastening until they get straight. Until they allow, just crucify these idols, crucify that portion of their flesh that's yearning for these things. Proverbs 31:27 says, the good wife, unearned food. The bread of my portion is the food that is earned, that one earns by the sweat of your brow, right? In other words, not what someone gives you. Let's look at the good wife from Proverbs 31, the 27th verse. It says, she looks well to how things go in her household, and the bread, here's the bread again, the bread of idleness, doing nothing. You know, it's some women that don't do nothing all day, and it's some men that don't do nothing all day. They don't have a job. They're retired. They don't do anything. But that's their staff of life, their idleness. He says, the bread of idleness. So God's going to have to break what? Gossip? because they'd be idle going about gossiping. That's men and women on the phone and everywhere else. Discontent, not happy with their life and making other people's lives miserable with their lives and other people's lives. And they're always looking for self-pity. They're self-pitying people. Self-pity. She will not eat the right things. The right things would be the Word of God, would be exhortation to the Word of God. It would be going about witnessing. It would be going about doing good, being busy, redeeming the time. So there's no time for gossip because that's the bread of idleness, tailbearing, doing all these other things. God has to get these things out of the life of His people. You just sleep all day? That's slothfulness. That's one of the seven deadly sins. You going to eat all day? That's gluttony. That's one of the seven deadly sins. In other words, the grace of God breaks these things in your life. That's why these things shall not come upon the people of God, because grace and faith, you add your faith, virtue, and you grow in grace and faith and virtue. So as God's breaking that which is of a mortal body, in other words, you have a craving for eating all the time. You have a craving for gossiping all the time. You have to switch that. Your mind has to be transformed or renewed in the things of God. In other words, you have to put away all the old things of the old life. Gossiping is a part of the old life. Being unhealthy is a part of the old life. And if you don't do these things, it's some things we have to do. We have to get strength and not say, I'm just waiting on the Lord to work. No, you got to work. Because God said this wasn't going to be easy because you're in Adam. You're in the first man of Adam. So it says, in the Genesis, the third chapter, in the 19th verse, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. In other words, you will work for your bread. Now, you will work for the necessary things. It's not coming free. You're just not looking for a governmental paycheck. You will labor. In other words, since I don't have to have a job, I'll take time in witnessing. You remember I told you some people volunteer at different places, some people do. Find something to do to be busy in the Lord. Idleness is a sin. Idleness is not good. It leads to slothfulness. He said, you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, and from thus thereon, from thus thou shalt return. So he added toil and labor to it. It's not going to be easy. The gospel, the Christian way, is not an easy way. So these people see that. And the people that are in Babylon that Ezekiel is preaching to, he says, watch these things. You watching other churches out there. You need to be busy about the Lord's work. How much have you done for God this week? With God in mind, how much have you done for Him this week? And I ain't talking about coming to church. I'm just saying, off from coming to church, your Bible says, how much have you done for God with God in mind? What have you done? Who have you spoke to with God in your mind? Letting them know the God you serve. So these people that were in Babylon that Ezekiel was preaching to, when they see these people coming from Judah and Israel, this remnant coming, and they observe their lives, knowing that God destroyed them because they say they worship God and look how they live. People are watching you. You're the greatest witness. Your life is the greatest witness. They're watching what you do. They're watching all the things you do. When he say you're a Christian, he do this, he do that. He go from place to place. Or she go from place to place, bearing tales, not doing this, not doing that. I don't want to belong to their church. I don't want to belong there. They're observing you. So we have to look at our lives. It's our way, our means of support. That's the bread. He has to make you live by every word that proceeded out of it. Jesus was a busy man. All of his disciples was busy. We need to get busy in the work of the Lord. The fields are right, but it needs more laborers in the field. It says, remove a part of it. I told you Saturday was about Hagar in the book of Proverbs. So we're not going to read that one there. There are several figured deceptive uses of the word, the bread of wickedness. It is food gained by wickedness. In the book of Proverbs, we see in the fourth chapter of Proverbs, where as Solomon's talking, he says, take firm hold of instructions. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. That's wisdom. That's instructions. That's the word of God. I always tell my wife, my children always tell me, Dad, you read everything in the book. You read the preface, the foreword, the table of contents. You look at everything. You need to read everything. They send you a letter. Have you read everything in it? If somebody puts something before you, because without reading, without studying, you have a problem. He told Timothy to study the scripture. They're able to make you wise unto salvation. Instruction is wisdom. People died to get you to have the liberty to be able to read. There were wars fought for certain races when they wanted to read or be education. Because knowledge is power. We need to keep and be knowledgeable and to be able to tell others about God. It says, receive instructions. Enter not into the path of wickedness and go not in the way of evil men. You have to break company with some people. You have to stop going all the places you used to do, the places you used to go. You are a new man, and there should be new characteristics on you. Are you trying to be known as the same person you was known before you were converted? That's not good. There's no change then. Avoid it. Do not go in. Turn from it. Pass on. I don't stand with this crowd here under the tree anymore. I don't go to these places. I don't do this and I don't do that. That's a changed life. But if you're doing the same thing, there's a problem there. For they cannot sleep unless they have caused trouble or vexation. Their sleep is taken away unless they have caused someone to fall. Because they will go tell of somebody else's shortcoming. They always worried about what somebody else ain't doing right. And they're passing that on from person to person. In somebody else's life. That's not good. And God's not going to bless you in any areas of your life when you're doing things like that. He has to break that staff of bread because that's your modus operandi. That's the way you live. That's what you live for is the gossip and the talebearer. Idleness is what you live for. You have to stop and start living for God. My meat, he says, is to do the will of him that sent me. When they said they had went in the town to look for bread, to look for water, and we noticed when he went to the woman at the well, he never did eat, but he preached the word of God to her. And when they said, we had came back and they found him talking to this woman, and they said, well, we had brought food. And he said, well, I have bread that you know not of. You see, that's the hidden manna. The word of God, that's the bread that you want to eat of. And the more you give out the word of God, the more God's going to bless you and strengthen you to give you. He's going to get you taught right. If you teach somebody else, if you sow these seeds, he's going to make sure some source sows it back into your life severalfold. You to be able to carry it to others. But if you don't go around teaching or preaching the gospel, you go around gossiping everything, that's what's going to come back. People go talk about you. Everywhere you go, people going to be talking about you because that's all you do is talk about people. What a man soweth, that shall he reap. The fruit of your lips, right? The tree is known by the fruit it bears. So if you bear talking behind somebody's back, dragging somebody down, always criticizing people, what's going to happen? People go always criticize you. They go always talk behind your back. That which you place out there, that which you shall reap. What a man soweth, he shall reap. You eat by the fruit of your lips. So if you sow in that nasty gossip and tail-bearing and backbiting, that's all that happened in your life. Get away from that cycle. He's trying to break that cycle in your life. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. They always want to hear, ha, ha, she failed, he failed. They fail in life. The kids fail in life. Their parents. Did you hear what happened to him? Did you hear what happened to her? That's what they live for. They that
set something off when they feel something or hear something bad happen to somebody. But the path of the uncompromisingly just and righteous is like the light of dawn that shines more and more brighter and clearer until it reaches its full strength and glory in the perfect day to be prepared. So if you righteousness, if you go around patching up stuff, you go around covering a multitude of sin, if somebody do something, try to take that person's side. When somebody else is down and that person are talking about them, try to see the other side of that. Oh, I know that this wasn't going to happen. I know she wasn't no good for him. I know he wasn't no good for her. Well, try to see the better side of these things. Don't be the negative person or the one that institutes this. And when you try to see the other side, do you know that person will stop gossiping with you and they will cut that out? You'll stop them pretty much in their tracks. When you start seeing the better side of it, compare the bread of food gained by deceit in Proverbs 20 and 17 and in lies of Proverbs 23 and 3. In other words, Proverbs 20 and 17 says, food gained by deceit is sweet to a man. In other words, stealing is good to him. When you then stole something, a bread, a lot of times people take another man's wife, sleeping with another man's wife. They have something that got deceitful, and it's good to him, he says, but afterward his mouth is filled with gravel. Now that you got that person, now that you have gotten that, what happens now? It's like eating gravel to you. It's hard to swallow. Sometimes you get hooked up with the wrong person. You regret you ever even know that person. I wish he was back or she was back with who she was with before I even fooled. A lot of times they said, don't stop stealing because the more you steal, see, it was nice, but see, now you're spinning at a level and now you got to steal. Now you got to do this. A lot of times things happen, it complicates your life so much. That's a deceptive practice. That's what deceptive practices lead to. But that's the bread of your life. That staff of bread has to be broken. Food, it says, purposes and plans are established by counsel, and only with good advice make a carry-on war. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, associate not with him who talks too freely. Don't tell that person your business. Man, you'll be all over the place. Don't tell him nobody else's business or they're going to take that person's business. And a lot of times they don't repeat it, the same thing you told them. They add something to it or change it. Stay away from them kind of people. Start cleaning up your life. That's what God's saying. Wake up. You be as God. Break that staff of bread. That's how that person's live. You don't want them living by you no more that way. You want to break those things away from your life. You want to be God bringing. I didn't come to bring peace. I come to bring a sword. We're not trying to parlay this into something else. Proverbs 23 and 3. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider who and what you are before you. For you will put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to desire. Be not desirous of his dainties, for it is deceitful food, offered with questionable motives. Weary not yourselves to be rich. Cease from your own wisdom. A lot of times we sit down, people invite us to somewhere. When somebody is being too good for me, to me sometimes, I question that. What is their motive? What are they trying to get at? What are they looking for? Be careful, he says, when you have something put before you, the king puts things before you. Be careful of those kind of commitments. Don't work to be a labor to be rich. It says, weary not yourselves to be rich. Cease from your wisdom about working two jobs to get ahead, about doing this. We went over that Saturday in the book of John when it says, labor not for the bread that does not satisfy, a labor not to be wealthy. And Proverbs 18 and 21, I just not talked about that. You shall eat the fruit thereof of what you say. Whether it's good or bad. You bring that about.
Whatever you sow, it's coming up again. That which you plant is coming again. If you plant corn, you will get corn. If you plant wickedness, you will get wickedness. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with the consequence of his words, he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit thereof. Life or death. But, like I said, if you go around sowing evilness and backbiting, that's all that's in you. What's in a man's will come out. That's what's in your heart. People can tell whether you have a root of bitterness against a certain person or not. You ever been with somebody and you know they was waiting on you, or waiting for you to start talking about a certain person, and they jump in with their dirt on that person, or jump in, they wanted to stick that dagger, that knife a little bit deeper. They never say anything good about this particular individual. You know, whether it's an ex-spouse, an ex-girlfriend, an ex-friend, somebody that you used to be close friends with or whatever. And then somebody else goes to talk about them, and then you want to add your bit to them about how that person is. Or you want to say this and that about them. The Bible says, speak evil of no man. See, what it is, we're carrying around a sore spot in us. And that's going to lead to a root of bitterness, and people can detect that. See, that's why your life, that's the sickness. God's trying to break that. That's what you live for, is seeing that down in somebody else's life. There's people, they say, that was living to bring the president down. There are people live to go against your agenda. They have no life or agenda of their own. They live for their enemies because that's all their rage is toward these people over there. See, you have to be looking toward God. That has become an idol to you. The revenge you want to rectify or bring up on this person is what you're living for. That's what you look forward to. These things need to be broken in your life if you're a Christian, a true man of God. But these are the things that break God's enemies, though. That's what broke Pharaoh. God had raised him up for that purpose, to destroy him, because his self-centered purpose was to work the Egyptians, the Israelites, work them hard to achieve for his own ends. But he was very vindictive against them. But that worked to his detriment because he wasn't working toward God. See, don't just live for that job. Let that job be a means or a way of getting to God, a means of supporting the God. God is the first thing there. Because if it's not in that job, it's first in your life, that's your God, and God has to break that in your life, that staff of bread. Like I said, there are a lot of work going on. You could be working, but your work may not be prospering. You could have an income, but your life may not be what you want it to be. But see, if you find God, and God says he'll never leave you, he'll never take this away. He's the bread of life, and he who eat of this bread shall never hunger, never thirst. See, if you get connected with God, John 6, starting at the 31st verse. It says, our fathers did eat the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. See, that which Moses didn't supply, he instructed them on eating this bread. But that which God gives you is life. It leads to eternal life. That's the word of God. That's instructions. You remember it says, get wisdom, get instruction.
The Word of God is instructions. That's your necessary food. If you take the Word of God in, assimilate it just like your body assimilates food. Take it in and it nourishes your body. Well, if you take the Word of God in, and that Word of God, if you're a doer of that Word of God, if you put it to work in your life, it's going to give you physical and spiritual strength. It's going to give you everlasting life, not just a hearer of the Word. That's not going to accomplish anything. You can know the Bible from cover to cover, but if you're not a doer of the Word of God, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, there's a serious disconnect there. He says, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. You see, as he's breaking the staff of bread in your life, that sickness, that lack of a job, that lack with the spouse, that lack with your children, that lack in whatever it be, the reason it is broken so that you can take an eye toward God. He knocking it down seven times, he says, so you can turn your eyes toward God. If you get focused upon God, he's going to give you life and he's going to give you everlasting life. You could work on a job and then you would be content or happy. You would learn to live within your means. You wouldn't have to always be worrying about a raise or worrying about this or whatever, because you're being instructed by God, and he's your sufficiency, and everything else around you is going to line up in you because he's going to give you joy and peace. He's not going to disconnect you. That staff of bread has to be to the wicked people that he's going to break. Because to the children of God is chastisement. But these people that we're talking about in the 14th chapter of Ezekiel, this is judgment on these people. This is a total disconnect. They're not going to reconnect God to God. So today we don't want to be disconnected. Well, we want to be reconnected. We want to join in to Jesus Christ. We want to abide in that vine. He says, then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He's going to cover your hungering and thirsting. So you'll learn by God's instructions not to worry about these other things. Your focus is going to be on Jesus and not on that he's going to break that staff of bread, so you won't worry about bread any longer. We understanding this. Place of blessing of the bread basket. Leviticus 26 and 16 says, I will do this. I will appoint over you sudden terror, trembling and trouble, even consumption and fever that consume and waste the eyes and make the physical life pine away. You shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it up. Coming up, this election has changed the face of a whole lot of things. I don't know how much it's going to end up changing that Affordable Care Act. I don't know how much that's going on. But you're going to see a lot of programs cut out. You're going to see a lot of things coming up on this nation because, like I said, it's judgment time. And a lot of these things, it's not going to be, they're going to be irrevocable. It's not going to change. It's going to get worse. We're seeing the face of Christianity, in other words, that rebel remnant here in America. That this destruction and terror is going to come upon a lot of people. They already, it's elderly people or different people saying that they're rationing their medicine and how hard it is to survive. But it's going to be even harder. It's going to be even a whole lot of things go on. Because God has to judge these nations. In America, supposedly the breadbasket of all nations, this is going to be a crippling blow to America. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be total famine. There will be a lot that go through famine. There will be a lot that go through unemployment. There will be a lot that go through broken marriages. There will be a lot that go through deaths. That's going to be things that happen naturally. We're going to see all these things coming. It's not going to get better. It says iniquity shall wax worse. So you have to be in Christ, because the bands that he was breaking in the book of Zechariah, when he says he took his two staffs, bands and beauty, and he broke them. In other words, unity. There shall be no more unity. And if we look and we don't, we should see the greatest divide in this nation. You know, in the last 7 years, I've seen just how divided this nation is. It's gotten so divided, I really don't even follow the news the way I used to follow the news. I don't follow politics because I have lost all confidence in it. All confidence. And that's good. When God breaks that staff of bread, that which I was depending on, because it turns me with more time toward God. That I see that man here in this nation is hopeless. There's no help for it. Only God's people go make it out of this. We're going into it, and that's what God's preachers should be teaching and preaching tonight. As this being the breadbasket, we can see this crippling coming about. We can see, even though they say peace and prosperity, how much jobs and how many things coming. They say the debt for this state next year will be $1.6 billion or something, will be the debt of it. Because they've been using one-time funds and to balance the budget. And they've been used so much creative, deceitful practices that it's in worse shape, or the delusion is that people believing this lie that we're going to be bouncing back. But they've cut so many taxes and everything, the revenue that's being produced, it's going to be not enough to setback those costs and expenditures that are coming. The next governor's going to really have it bad in this state. The next president's really going to have it tough in this nation, because health care is going to become a major issue, especially if they cut out these social programs and the Affordable Care Act and everything, because the vindictiveness of the Christian people and of the people in this nation about health care, what happens if you don't treat those people that are sick? They infect others. These people can't work. Productivity goes down. When productivity goes down, either you go have to outsource this, or either crimes will go up. So by their wisdom, we just passed that about man's wisdom, and their wisdom being self-centered and saying that they want to keep it and having utter motivations in what they're doing, these things are going to be exposed, and that's the staff of bread that God breaks. The tax base is going to be a staff of bread that's broken. The health is going to be a staff of bread that's broken. And it's going to be too late to fix these things back. We're going to be in the midst of that remnant. That's why I say we have to look at this as being geographical also, that it's going to be nowhere to flee, because we're in the midst of the breadbasket, and if the breadbasket is suffering famine, what happens? You don't leave the breadbasket. You just have to hang on and look to God. You remember Abimelech left Bethlehem, which was what? The land of bread, the breadbasket. He went to Moab because there was a famine. In other words, he left where God had him at, where the place of blessing was. He heard it was food in Moab. His children, his sons and things died in Moab. He died in Moab. Only his wife came back to Bethlehem. And that's where Naomi and Ruth met Boaz. That's where the blessing comes from. So don't move from your place of blessing. You pray for the United States. You pray for your state. You pray for your city. Don't move. God's going to move that which is wicked. God's going to move that which is not right. He's going to break the staff of bread, but he's not going to let it come nigh you if you're in God. So we have to see these things. We see where Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine press. That's not a place to thresh wheat. You need to be up in the mountain. You need to be somewhere where the wind is blowing. That means he was scared. He was afraid because the enemy was eating up that which they were producing. Right now, this nation eats up that which the poor. They are oppressing the poor. They are oppressing the working class. They are oppressing the middle class. And the wealthier are getting wealthier. Doesn't God have to break that staff of bread that the wealthy are eating by? Don't he have to break that staff of bread from the ones that's being oppressed? Now remember, the ones that's being oppressed is wicked too. Not that just because they're poor that they're not wicked. Everybody in Israel or Judah was wicked and everybody was going to be destroyed. Just because you don't have money, that don't mean that you're following God. Just because you're poor or you're in poverty, you may be there because of your own problems. You may be the cause of you being there. So let's not just make this a class or social war, a class warfare, and say it's all of the rich people. No, it's not. Just like it's not all of the poor. They're what? The seed that was sown, that when they sowed the tares, you can't tell them apart. So there's some wicked and poor people out there too. So don't let's try to make me think I'm making this a class thing. So, figuratively, men are food a prey for their enemies. That's what I say. The rich prey on the poor. A lot of the social programs, the reason they create these programs, we had a guy that resigned the other day from one of the urban renewal programs. I was telling you about that a couple of weeks ago. The mayor was talking about him. This guy was making $300,000 a year almost in this program here in Baton Rouge. When he resigned because his salary, the lady that they put in his place makes $75,000 a year. Now the program is able to go on and will be funded. But his salary was more. If you look at a lot of these programs and things, the program administrative costs take up much more of these programs. The people that are making our laws, the legislatures, the senators and the representatives, they get retirement packages, and this is the least working Congress we've ever had the last 2 years, and they get more money than any other Congress before them. So men of the people are the prey of the people, just like Nimrod preyed on other men. Numbers 14:9 says, "Only do not rebel against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us." What? He says, "Neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense and the shadow of their protection is removed from over them, but the Lord is with us, fear not." You know, the wealth of the rich man is laid up for those that are righteous. There's going to be a great transfer of wealth now. Now, if you're not working for the Lord, I'm not talking about you, because you may be one of those poor people that die and don't have nothing in the Lord. You weren't following God. So just because you don't have nothing, like I say, don't think that you want a God's own. You have to be one of God's own. So that's not an open sentence there. But he says, these people are food for us. They are bread. They are what we live off of. The wicked is bread for the righteous and the just. That's what we shall live by. The homes that they're creating, when God brought his people in, they didn't have to build homes. He said, you go live in homes you didn't build. You go live in a place fixed up. God's going to have this for you because God's with you. That's if God's with you. You better make sure God's with you and that you're with God. And these people will bring bread for you. That's another type of bread, figuratively. That's another type of bread. You'll pray for one another, but don't end up being prey now. You can end up being someone else's prey. Don't be that. And we're talking about P-R-E-Y, not A-Y. In Jeremiah 11:19, it represents fruit from a tree and is figurative of a man and his offspring. That's about your children there. It's figurative language for a man and his offspring in Jeremiah 11:19. Let's start reading at the 18th verse. And the Lord gave me the knowledge of it, of their plot, and I knew it. Then you, O Lord, showed me their doings. You know, God showed me some certain things or whatever. It's a lot of people laying traps for you and your children and everybody else in your family. Like I say, you'll be prayed for them. God had showed this to Jeremiah, just like he's showing Ezekiel, not to trust these people in Babylon, these elders and people coming before them to inquire of God. Everybody that come before you talking about the Lord said and the Lord said and what has the Lord said, you don't trust them. Not necessarily mean that they're being trusted. So he got wind of this. He says, but I was like a tame lamb that is brought to the slaughter. I did not know that they had devised inventions and schemes against me, saying, let us destroy the tree and its fruit. Let us get rid of this preacher and his children. Children being, in other words, the members of the church. Let us stop the preacher's mouth. Let us stop Jeremiah from preaching and those that's hearing him. They'll be destroyed. See, Satan goes about a roaring lion seeking those he may devour. He attacked Job, but then he attacked Job's children. He took all Job's children away. It says, let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. But, O Lord of hosts, who judges rightly and justly, who test the hearts and the mind, let me see your vengeance on them. For to you I have revealed and committed my cause. He's praying to God, I want to see you bring judgment upon these people. I'm praying a prayer of imprecations. Lord, you know what I've done right before you. I always tell my children, do right, and God's going to take care of that wicked person. You need to do right. You need to offer up prayer to God and walk justly and mercifully before him. Therefore, thus says the Lord about the men of Anatot, those men that was in Jeremiah's hometown that was working against him. Do you have people in your project working against you? You have people around your home working against you? Now, hold on now. While I'm saying that, are you working against someone else, though? Also, you know, like I say, I have to have this, you see, in both sides of this matter. God's going to get those that's going around talking about you and persecuting you or saying all manner of evil and things falsely about you. But also, God's going to get you also if you go around saying evil and talking all manner of wrong things about somebody else. Now, that's a double-edged sword. You remember they say the word is a double-edged sword? So if you're doing that, don't think you will get off with it. He that judges another, do you do these things? You talking about these people that are talking and saying this about you, are you doing that same thing to them? Remember, that's a double-edged sword now. He said, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. Their young men will die by the sword. Their sons and their daughters. God takes all these things. Things are not just happening out there. Things are not happening. I just told you about you two young men that kill one another. Your children are dying in the street, and it's all across the nation. The young people, the children are packing them away. It used to be you could live to a good old age, but now, you know, they're packing them away younger and younger. God promised this. He promised this was going to be happening. So why do we look at it strange and say, oh, did you hear about this? That's not new. That's going to be everyday occurrence, and it's going to get worse. They're going to start selling more and more drugs all over the place because money. They need the money. And if you're cutting off money here, you're cutting it off there. It's a cycle that happens. He says also in that verse, Ezekiel 13 and 14, 14 and 13, he says, he was going to send the noisome beasts also. Also, the governments are those noisome beasts. That means an evil beast. That means an unruly beast. It's not talking about lions and tigers. Because that's news when lion, a tiger attack man. You don't see where animals are just overrunning men in the world. God had put the fear of God, of man in animals to animals attacking men as rare things. Unless you just happen to be in the environment or somewhere. If you're on some mountain with some hungry mountain lion, I'm not saying he won't eat you or something. But he just not coming down here looking for you or whatever. As you destroy their habitat, they might migrate and you might run across them because you're destroying their habitats. But these noisome beasts were governments. If you notice, the beast in Daniel's dream were governments. It was different stages of governments. Government is the beast that they're talking about. And you remember governments, it says they bear the sword. The book of Romans 13, chapter in the 4th verse says, "For he is God's servants for your good, but if you do wrong, you should dread and be afraid. For he does not bear and wear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant to execute his wrath or his punishment of vengeance on wrongdoers." So those that do wrong, this person or these governments are out here by God's authority to execute evildoers. Those that commit murder, you kill, you shall be killed by the sword. If you murder someone, you shall be killed by the government, not by a vigilante squad. So those in government do have to answer to God if it was unjust judgment. If what they had did is not just and right, that constitutes an evil judge, an evil authority, an evil government. And that government has to answer to God. Just like, you remember, the elders and the princes and the rulers was having to answer to God. That's where the destruction was first coming. Start with the old men. Start with the leaders and things. No one's going to escape. That's why I said this nation is not going to escape. Those men that were in office who did these things, they're not escaping the judgment of God. And that's what we're talking about next week, starting Saturday. Is the remnant that escaped. What about those people that held political office and did all these wicked things? What about these people that throw bricks and hiding their hands and now they're in the churches? What about these people that say they repent and now they're Christians or whatever? Those are the rebellious remnant. You have to be aware of the rebellious remnant. And we're going to study about those coming up this Saturday. We're going to end this tonight, and I have a lot more on bread, but we're not going to take it up at this time. We'll take it up at another time about the staff of bread and breaking that staff of bread. As we pray unto our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. O Father, give us day by day our daily bread, Lord God. Let us, Lord God, look unto you for the bread of life that coming down, which is your Son, which giveth us life, Lord God, which was broken for us. Let us forever eat of that bread. Be doers of that bread, Lord God, and continue in his word, Lord. For your word giveth us life, Lord God. And that's when we are disciples indeed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.